reading from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That was Matthew chapter 16, verse 18.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 1st, 2025. Happy August, everyone. It's another new month, another new day, a start where we get to serve the Lord. Lord willing, walk in cadence with the Spirit's leading and be God's ambassador and a faithful follower of Jesus. That's what we all want to do. And today we're going to learn about what is the church, a place that God has ordained for us to meet and gather to hear his word taught, to be under a pastor's leading, and to gather and enjoy fellowship and worship together. Joining me again in the studio is Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church. 2 weeks ago, you might have heard my interview with him, some of his faith journey, life story, a little of his love story, and how God has brought him to the Springfield area these many, many years to serve faithfully at Calvary Church. Actually, his dad started that church, what, in the 60s?
1966.
So 2 weeks ago, if you go to our archive programs link at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, you can hear that program. Last week, we talked about forgiveness, and we had some testimony time, some good prayer time, and I know from some of the feedback, people were blessed by what was shared and said, and we had a great bunch here in the studio, almost 12 people gathered at the noontime. And so today we have Ani joining us, our Director of Listener Relations. She's filling in for Joyce. Joyce is downstairs manning the phones or womaning the phones, I don't know, covering the phones, but we appreciate Ani and her faithfulness. She set out cookies and watermelon and treats and other snacks for everyone that joined us, so we appreciate her efforts. And Dave Finch again joins us, our Director of Development. And we have Kurt again all the way in from St. Joseph. He's on our board, so he's representing the board, and some other friends that are joining us today. And in the future, we'll invite you to join us on various Wednesdays to be a part of the Mark and Friends program. I'm working on a t-shirt. I showed some of you. I have a neat t-shirt about I participated in Mark and Friends, and then maybe a collared shirt that says something else. So we'll see if we'll have those as gifts or ways to encourage people to come out and be a part of the broadcast. But Pastor Mark Johnson's going to lead us through the importance of understanding why God created the church. What's it there for? It's not a building. It's not a brand. It's where the body of Christ meets. It's where God wants us to grow and be under teaching and be refined by one another. So, Pastor Mark, I appreciate you joining me again for today, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And you chose Matthew 16, 18, and that was read by Christy Bly, who opened up our program. Appreciated her. She was here last week and again today. So maybe we'll have some faithful friends that'll be a part of a future broadcast. But Matthew 16, 18, why that of all the verses you could share about what is the church?
You know, Mark, when I think about sharing any truth with anyone, I think about the fact that we are called not to lean on our own understanding, but to lean on God and his wisdom. This is a scripture that points out the church to us. We find God's wisdom in his word. So when you read this verse, you see the intent of God. The church is God's idea. It's not man's idea. The church is God's idea. Now, two ideas are presented to us in Scripture. One, I believe this verse represents, is Christ is going to build his universal church. No matter what comes against it, no matter what laws say in countries that try to suppress it, God is going to build his universal church. That universal church transcends space. It transcends time. We're a part of the same church that Peter was a part of and that Paul was a part of. It transcends all of those things. But he also talks about the local church. Most of the New Testament, most of the epistles are giving instruction to the local church, how the local church is supposed to act, how the local church is supposed to be organized, how the local church is supposed to be overseen, what the local church is supposed to do. So if we are serious Christ followers, we see his intent to build the local church. We define the local church his way, not our way, and we become a part of a local church to do his work and to serve him.
Yeah, I'm thinking Jesus isn't coming back for like a campus or a building or a location, a logo, a live stream. He's returning for his bride. The church is his idea and his promise. So maybe with our listening friends here, when Jesus and God's word refers to the church as a bride, what comes to mind when you think of a bride?
Radiant.
Radiant?
Beloved.
Beloved. Pastor Mark, why do you think Jesus used the term bride to describe the church?
I think he's describing his relationship with us and that we come to him full of love for him and him full of love for us, and that we come into a permanent relationship with him, as you would say, in heaven. We're in a permanent relationship with him now, but someday he's going to take that bride and build a home.
And the early church, it wasn't flashy, but it was powerful because what took place there was teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, generosity, praise. Is that still the blueprint for the church today? Or what would you say a church should be known for today?
I think all of those things make up the church. A church is like a family. It's multifaceted. It has a lot of things that it's supposed to do. So when I think about our church, I want to be a church of worship. But that's not the sum total of it all. I want to be a church of the preaching of the word. That's not the sum total of it all. There's multiple things that go into the makeup of a healthy church, and that is the responsibility of the leadership of that church to bring those things to bear in that church.
Yeah, the church exists. I'm reciting part of Ephesians 4:11 through 13, that the church exists to equip believers, grow unity, and bring people to the maturity in Christ. And last week you talked about a little of your testimony off air with our group here about, you know, our maturity in Christ, especially as we come to him as a child. There's still immaturity. There's still things we need to grow. But that's one of the roles that the church has, or those involved in the church, to help us grow, right?
That's exactly right. Mark, one of my great concerns today is that in America, the church, we see it like consumers. And so we pick and choose what we like. And we come and go how we like. And we are the one that is the consumer, when I think we should see it that we are the workers in the church. God has called us and put us in a church to be a worker. If I go to work at a restaurant, it's different than if I go there to buy a meal. I'm coming there as a customer. If I'm going there to buy a meal, if I work in the restaurant, I'm there to serve the meal. I'm there to serve the people that come. And so we have this idea of how does this church going to serve me, when the right idea, the healthy idea is, God, how are you going to use me in this church to serve others? And as I do that, then the Spirit of God uses others to serve me as well.
For our many listeners, probably covering a wide range of people that have maybe never gone to church, to those that have had a bad experience in church, to those that love their church and love their pastor, what are some of the experiences maybe that you guys can all share, you guys and gals can all share, that'll help people understand that the church is a safe place, that maybe because of various circumstances, their initial visit to a certain church wasn't the best fit, but there are other churches and other bodies of Christ, people that meet, that might be the best fit for them. So do any of you have an experience where that wasn't a good fit, but now this is the best fit because of XYZ?
Well, when I think of the church, Mark, I think back to the very beginning of the church and what it would have been like. I'd love to be transported back in time to see that. In the apostles' days, they didn't have a building. They didn't have a program. I imagine them getting together at the end of the day and sharing their stories about when they were sharing the good news for the first time with people that they ran into that day. And they were telling them how people were changed and saved and delivered and healed. And they're just sharing all these great stories about God's work in their life and in their community. And then they worship God as a result of that. It just flows out of them. It didn't require a church building. It didn't require an exact agenda or anything. It just flowed out of them naturally. And that, I think that can be any church today, too.
Pastor Mark, as a pastor of a church in Springfield here at Calvary Church, what would be your hope or your desire for somebody coming and attending on Sunday? What would they experience in the ideal church or in your church, for instance?
I'm hoping that anybody that comes to our church, that they're going to hear the preaching of the word, they're going to experience worship, and they're going to experience the love of the people towards them, that they can come in and experience. They may not agree with what's preached, because we're not going to preach to please men's hearts. We're going to try to preach the truth of God's word. And so we're going to come and do those things and let the Spirit of God move on their life. So when I think about the church, as Dave has just shared, we see how the church started. Now, there's natural growth in that. Natural things take place. And so any place you go in the world where the church begins together, eventually they do want the building. Eventually they do want the place together. Eventually they do want order and structure. And all of that we find listed out for us throughout the New Testament. And so, yes, there's a place for us together, a place for us to go. But I tell the folks at our church all the time, if a storm comes through and blows our building down next week, the church will still gather, because we are the church. And we will still gather because we love each other, we're committed to each other. So when people move from Springfield and they're going someplace else, and they'll come to me and they'll say, Pastor, what should I look for? I tell them, you look for doctrine, first of all. You're not going to change a church's doctrine. What is the doctrine of that church? You look to the leaders. Are these leaders trustworthy? Have they lived a trustworthy life? Do they meet the requirements of Scripture? You look for the strategies of the church. Are these the strategies I want to be involved in? Are these the things I feel committed to being involved in? And then you look for core values. What are the core values of this church? What are they going to really work at? That's going to determine their time, their effort, their energies. Do I connect with the core values of this church? And then finally today, I think you've got to look for moral clarity. Is this church morally clear? I'll tell you, I believe God made us male and female. I believe that's the way God made us. I believe there's two genders. The world we live in today is trying to tell us something different than that. At Calvary Church, we believe there's two genders. Our staff believes that. Our elders believe that. We preach that and teach that publicly. That's why I would say it right here. So we love all people. We want to extend God's love to all people. But we can't do that unless we preach the truth. What does God's word say that is not led by my feeling or my opinion or my culture? We are not supposed to fit in with the culture. We're supposed to call the culture to the light of the gospel. That's the role of the church.
You know, I think another thing that the church is to love God, love people, and to make disciples. So that's kind of a litmus test when you walk through the doors. Are they loving God? Do they love one another? Are they sharing Jesus' love? And how are they equipping and training people to grow in their faith and in the love of Jesus?
I think of Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. Let us not give up meeting together, but encouraging one another. One of the scriptural precepts on the importance of meeting each and every week, whether it's in a building or, you know, we are the church wherever we go, as we go. And Dave, you might like this. This is a retelling. This is a restructuring, if you will, of 1 Corinthians 12 through 27. But using radio terms, we are many parts, one body. Some are microphones, some are transmitters, some are encouraging emails, but all are necessary for the broadcast to reach the world. So I came across that the other day.
Written by somebody in broadcasting, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. So indulge me for that little, I don't want to ever rewrite scripture, but as broadcasters, we have the privilege, the opportunity to convey the gospel message over the airwaves, because there are some people that are shut in. They can't get out for various reasons, health reasons, maybe incarcerated, and so they can't go to a church. But we would encourage every listener, everyone tuned in, even maybe somebody that has never attended church before, try it. You'll like it. Trust me, there's a loving body of believers that love God and love people, as Kurt has said. and they desire to grow and to learn together and to be commissioned to go into all their world, all your world, and preach the good news message of Jesus. And most churches on Sunday will divide God's word. They'll read the Bible. They'll talk about it, and you'll learn about God's love for you. So please attend a church and call the station if you're maybe you're new to the area and you're not sure what churches to attend. We have a listing and we can recommend. We know so many wonderful pastors throughout Central Illinois, and we'll find them in Iowa for our KMDY listeners or those that are in Indiana. We have friends there and some wonderful churches, but God's word says how important it is to assemble and meet. It's his bride. Yes, Christian radio and other parachurch ministries are wonderful and can be used of God, yes, but he desires you to grow in the local body of believers through a pastor that's dedicated to preaching his word. So,
Mark, I have a question. Yeah. I'd like to ask the group here. Where do you see Jesus at today? What's Jesus doing right now? I'll give you a couple of things. One, we see him standing by the throne room of God, interceding for us. Scripture teaches. That's where a lot of people go to immediately. We see Jesus being with us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We make the simple statement, the childish statement of Jesus lives in my heart. And there's some truth to all of that, that he's with us and living in us. In the book of Revelation, we see Jesus another way. We need to remember Jesus is not caught in a body like we are. We're humans. We will always have a body. When this body's done, God's going to give us, if we're Christians, an incorruptible body. Jesus can be with us. He can be with believers in Japan and in China and in India all at the same time. Jesus is in the throne room of God, and he's interceding for us. But we also find him in the book of Revelation, the first chapters. And what's he doing? He's walking among the churches, the places that call themselves a church, and he's judging them. Some of the churches, he's saying, well done, keep going. And some of the churches, he's giving them a warning and saying, return to your first love. Return to these things. Jesus is judging the local churches by their doctrine, by their morality, and by their actions. And we need to be aware that that's how important the church is to him, is that the church needs to be this light that shines in communities. And when we lose our way, we lose the light.
Yeah, listening friend, the church is not perfect, but it points to the one who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So try a different church or meet up with a different congregation if maybe you've had a bad experience. Things have changed. Maybe pastors have changed in a church that one time that you attended, maybe has a new staff and leadership team in there. Return or try a different church or find some Christ followers that you appreciate and see where they go to church and attend with them. And listening friend, they say 90% of people will go to church if they're personally invited. So maybe the takeaway from today's program is that you're going to ask God to put somebody on your heart that you're going to invite to go to church with you this Sunday and save up a little money and treat them out to lunch afterwards. Make it kind of, or invite them into your home for a meal. Make it a time where you can fellowship and talk about the message or see how they felt about what was preached or taught on. So allow that to be intentional this weekend. Think who God might put on your heart and then just initiate. Say, hey, will you go to church with me this Sunday and see how God will answer that? Because the church isn't perfect, but the Lord Jesus Christ is, and he's the one we want to follow. And he's the one, as we talked about last week, will bring forgiveness into your life. He'll bring healing and hope, and an eternity will be set before you as you ask him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior.
Mark, I have a big family, and inside of our family, a lot of grandkids, a lot of adult kids now, sometimes somebody can get their feelings hurt. Somebody can say the wrong thing. That doesn't mean we stop being part of the family. There are right reasons to leave a church, just like there's right reasons to leave a family. If a husband commits adultery, the wife has a right, if she wants to say, I'm done. And the same thing happens in the church. I can tell you there are people who've left our church that I've had to say at the end of the day, yeah, I understand. We got it wrong. We made a mistake. Somebody blew it. Something happened. There are other people who have left the church, and I go, no, they I hope they grow up wherever they go. Hope they get a little healthier wherever they go next. So we need to examine ourselves closely in those things and recognize that a church is made up, as you've said, of human beings. Mm-hmm. It's not the building. Doesn't matter whether you own a building or don't own a building. It's made up a gathering of believers. And inside of those believers, none of them are perfect. Things can be said or done. Can I forgive them? Can I move on? Is the doctrine of the Scripture being held true here? Is truth being taught here? Can I grow in Christ here? Can I do the work of the kingdom here? And if I get those things right, then I can do a lot of things. So I've had somebody tell me once, yeah, we left that church because they didn't have a youth ministry. And my thought immediately was, well, maybe that's why God sent you there. To start a youth ministry. Maybe that's why he took you to that place. Understand how the kingdom works, then you'll find life inside the church. You'll find great love inside the church.
Let me add something to that. You've touched on some really good things. And the church is filled with people who are flawed. And we follow after the perfection, Jesus, who is the standard. And often we fall short of that. And so I think it's a mistake for people to judge the church by the people that aren't living up to the standard, which is what they should be following.
Yeah, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect. He's the Savior of the world. He desires that you come to know him. He loves you. He cares about you. And he will forgive you of your sins as you recognize you need a Savior. And we all know that we fall short. We don't measure up, that we haven't batted 1,000. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as you ask him to be your Savior, you ask him into your heart, you ask him to forgive you of your sins, he will bring about that redemptive work that'll secure your eternity. And then when you go to church, you'll thrive, you'll be inspired, you'll worship, and you'll love God's word, because he'll bear witness with your spirit. He'll empower you with the Holy Spirit to know his truth and to be set free from sin. Well, listening friend, thank you for joining us for this Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church helped facilitate our discussion. Appreciate his faithfulness. And next week we'll have another great topic. And so join us at the same time for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I look forward to sharing Mark with you and these listening friends that will come in and join us. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or send it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can listen anytime. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks, studio guests, for joining us.
Amen.
Thank you, Mark.
And thank you, listener, for being a part of our radio listening family. Have a great weekend.